The story of Jonah was one of my favorite stories. My mother used to read these big blue Bible storybooks to us kids, the shiny ones, you know, and the story of Jonah getting swallowed by a whale was one of our favorites. It was one of my favorites. I used to envision the fish that was so big that Jonah would actually sit inside in a room and have tea, you know, and inside this fish, waiting for the, you know, for the right moment to make his exit. It was the child's mind, obviously, and in some ways I haven't changed much. But one of the problems, speaking of my mind, one of the problems that I have with my mind is that the name Jonah and the name Joshua in my brain are the same. Go figure. So if I say Joshua today, I don't mean Joshua, I mean Jonah, okay? So if I accidentally say Joshua, just say he means Jonah, okay? It's just one of those things, right? So I'm gonna actually talk about Jonah's story today because we picked up at the end of the story. And the first part is even better than the end. But before I do that, I want to show you how the common thread runs through the readings today. Because Jesus talked about a guy who had some work to do. He was the owner of a business, and there was some work to do. And he went over to the Home Depot, and he saw these guys standing around. It was 8 o'clock in the morning, and he said to half a dozen guys, he said, "Do you want to go to work?" And the guy said, "Sure." He said, "Okay, I'll give you $20 if you work until 8 o'clock tonight." It's a long day, and the guy said, "Yeah, we'll take it, we'll take it." Well, then he went around again at 10 o'clock in the morning. He saw more guys, and he said, "I'll give you $20 to work until 8 o'clock tonight." And the same thing happened again at noon and at 2 o'clock and at 4 o'clock and at 6 o'clock. He went by Home Depot, and here's all these guys. He said, "I'll give you $20 to go work in my field. I've got this work to do." And so at the end of the day, all these guys come up to get paid, and the ones that started at 8 o'clock in the morning got their $20. And the ones that started at 6 o'clock at night and worked for only 2 hours, they got their $20 too. And the ones that started at 8 in the morning said, "Hey, wait a minute. How come they're getting $20? They only work for 2 hours. We work all day." And the owner said, "Hey, I hired you for $20. You agreed to work for that. And I'm paying you what you agreed to. Why are you looking at something that I've done that's good and calling it evil? I'll do what I want to. It's my business. It's my money." That's the parable that Jesus told, with a little bit of modern-day twist with the Home Depot thing out of it. That's what Jesus was talking about. It's what happened. He told that story to people so that they would understand that that's the way the kingdom of God is. And if there's one thing that I harp about over and over up here, it's that I want to begin to think more than we ever have before the way God thinks and see things the way God sees things. I want to be able to keep having the mind of Christ and let the mind of Christ become even greater and greater in our own minds. And next Wednesday night, we're studying Philippians chapter 2, and Paul talks about the mind of Christ. Today, we read Philippians chapter 1. So chapter 2 talks about how to get the mind of Christ and what all that means. So come Wednesday night. Anyway, the reason that God has this wonderful love letter, this book of instruction for us, that has been preserved over these thousands of years, is because he wants us to know what he's like. And he said, "My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts." And so when Jesus told the parable of this guy who was hiring workers to go to work, and he hired these people all day long, this is what God is like. That's what God is like. God is merciful to the last minute person. He is. He's merciful to the guy that says at the last minute, "Okay, I'll go. I'll go." That's the good news that we can take out into the world and talk to our friends and neighbors about. If you want to make a decision for Christ right now, you can. And you're going to get in. You're going to get in just like people that have spent their whole lives sitting in church. You're going to get into that kingdom. Because that's the way God is. It may not be the way we are. And we may look at it as unjust. How can God be like that? How can he let them off the hook? Well, that's why I like the story of Jonah, because it's the same story, only it's a little different bent on it. Jonah was a prophet. Do you know what a prophet is? Somebody said, "I'm gonna." A prophet is not when you take money and make a fortune in business. That's a different word. That's prophet. This is prophet. A prophet is somebody who speaks the oracles of God. A prophet is somebody who tells the truth that God has given them. And typically, it's what people don't want to hear. A prophet is somebody who says something that cuts you to the heart, and you want to really do something bad to them. In fact, in the Old Testament, a lot of the prophets were put to death because they came to people like King Ahab and told him the truth about what was going to happen to him, and King Ahab said, put him out of the city. And some of them were put to death because they told the truth about what God said to them. And Jonah was a prophet, and God said to Jonah, I want you to go to a city called Nineveh. Nineveh had a reputation. Have you ever heard of a city with a reputation, maybe called Sin City or anything like that? Nineveh had a reputation as being a city that was evil, and the people in the city were evil all day long in the eyes of the Lord. And here's the irony. Did you know that the people of Nineveh actually know and they knew who the living God was? They actually knew who God was, but they chose to worship other gods and to go after other things like money and power and whatever else and influence. And so they went after other things, and it said they did evil in the sight of the Lord all day long. And they weren't very nice people. And so this prophet, Jonah, he decided that he would not do what God said, and he took off the opposite direction to a place called Tarshish. And he went to a city called Joppa, and he paid for a ticket on a boat. We're not talking about a cruise ship here, okay? It says that the people were rowing on this boat. So there were rowers on. You ever see Ben-Hur? People in, you know, rowing, like all these guys. And it says, so Jonah, I almost said Joshua. So Jonah gets a ride on the boat, and they head toward Tarshish, and a storm comes up and rocks the boat, and the people start to panic. The guys that work the boat and the rowers are rowing against the wind and the waves, and they start to throw the stuff overboard, including their food. I mean, these guys are panicking, and for me, throwing food overboard is a really good sign of panic, right? So they're throwing the stuff overboard, and Jonah is sound asleep in the basement where people sleep in the boat, right? He's sound asleep, and the captain of the boat goes down and says, how can you sleep? Everybody here has been praying to their gods that their gods would deliver us. Can't you at least get up and pray to your God? And so Jonah got up, and he kind of mumbled something. And the guys that work on a boat said, okay, this is the wrath of God against us. That's why we're in trouble here. We're going to cast lots. And the lots fell to Jonah. And they went to Jonah and they said, okay, you're the problem here, right? And Jonah said, yeah, I'm running away from God. I got on your boat because I'm running away from God. And they said, well, what do we do? I mean, how do we make this storm stop? And Jonah said, you have to throw me overboard. That's the only way that the water's going to be calm is you throw me overboard. And so they didn't want to do that. It says that they rowed harder and fought against the winds, and it wouldn't stop. It wouldn't stop. And so it says they all prayed, and they said, God of the heavens, who Jonah serves, forgive us. We don't want to be guilty for throwing this man overboard, but we have to do it. And they picked up Jonah and threw him overboard, and as soon as they did that, the water was calm. And there's Jonah flopping around in the water, and guess what happens? This massive fish, as big as we've ever seen before, probably bigger, swallows him. Now, there wasn't a big cavern in there full of air for Joshua, or for Jonah, see? There wasn't a big cavern in there full of air for Jonah. It was like he was squished in the stomach of a huge fish. And he was in there for 3 days. Can you imagine? Inside a fish. We don't even know what inside a fish looks like, do we? I've never been there. But Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of a fish. And Jonah prayed a prayer from inside that fish. And it's a delightful prayer. And I have some news for you. If you ever get to a situation in your life where you think you're about to die and everything is gone is about as bad as it can possibly go, I recommend that you read Jonah chapter 2, because this is the prayer that Jonah prayed to God from inside that fish. Jonah prayed, I called to the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. From the depths of my watery grave, I cried for help, and you heard my cry. You threw me into the deep and into the depths of the sea, and water surrounded me, and the white caps on your waves have swept over me. Then I thought, I've been banished from your sight. When will I ever see your holy temple again? Water surrounded me, threatening my life, and the deep sea covered me completely, and seaweed was wrapped around my head. I sank to the foot of the mountains. I sank to the bottom where bars held me forever. But you brought me back from the pit, O Lord my God. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you in your holy temple. Those people who will hold on to worthless idols abandon their loyalty to you. But I will sacrifice to you with songs of thanksgiving. I will keep my vow. Victory belongs to the Lord. That's the prayer of Jonah. From inside the fish, from the depths of the sea, he prayed that prayer, and it said, and the fish barfed him up onto the shore. The Bible actually says vomited, but I didn't want to use that word, so, you know, sermon, so. The fish. You get the idea, right? He ends up on the shore. Jonah is set free from this, from the deep, from the fish. He ends up on the shore, and this time God says, okay, go to Nineveh, Jonah, and do what I told you to do. I want you to tell Nineveh this message. I want you to tell this sinful city that they're going to be overthrown in 40 days. That's the word of the Lord for them. You're going to be overthrown and overrun and destroyed in 40 days. This is what's going to happen to you. And so Jonah went to Nineveh, and it was a big city. It said it took him 3 days just to walk through the city. 3 days he walked. He finally got through town. He preached at Nineveh, and he preached out loud, and he made his voice known. He went out to the people, and he said, God's going to destroy you, this town, unless maybe, perchance, you repent. And it says, and the people repented. It said, even the king himself of Nineveh, the king, put sackcloth on his back instead of his regular clothes, and he sat in ashes, and they all repented and prayed to the Lord, said, please, God, spare us your destruction. And it said, and God spared the city. He saw that they repented, and he relented on his original command that that city be destroyed. God saw that they repented, and he relented on his command that the city be destroyed. And this is where we pick up the story that we read this morning from the Old Testament reading in Jonah. It said Jonah got really ticked off. Jonah got mad because God saved the city of Nineveh. And Jonah said, I knew this was going to happen. You sent me over to this city to walk through this city and warn them that you were going to destroy them, and now you're not going to destroy them. They're wicked people, Lord. They're evil in your sight. You should destroy them. Maybe Jonah was secretly looking at the opportunity to see that destruction, right? Yeah. So he goes outside of town. He goes outside of town, and he sat down in a frump, and he pouted. A prophet of the Lord sitting outside of town pouting in the heat. And it said, God saw Jonah out there pouting. And it said he caused a plant to grow with big leaves. And the plant grew up that day. And it grew really, this is a miracle God did, this miracle. This plant grew up this day, and it covered Jonah's head and cooled him off. And so the breeze came through, and because of this plant, he was in the shade. And Jonah said, this is really cool. What a cool plant, Lord. He really liked the plant. I mean, he did. It was giving him shade over his head. And it says, and the next morning, God sent a worm to eat the plant's roots, and the plant withered and died, and Jonah got really upset about that. I liked that plant. That plant is destroyed. I liked it. That was a good plant. Now what am I going to do? And it said, and a wind came up, and it was hot in the desert, and it beat down on Jonah's head. And Jonah said, listen, God, I knew that you were going to do this. I know that you're a gracious and compassionate God, that you're slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity to people. I knew you were going to do this, that you were going to save the city. And I'm mad because you did that. And God, in his infinite mercy, said to Jonah, you're worried about this plant that I destroyed. You're worried about this plant that grew up one day and the next day was gone. I've got a city here of 120,000 people that I care about, said God. I care about them. As wicked as they are, as wicked as they've been, as evil as they've been, I love them. Can you understand that message today? God said to Jonah, I love those people. Did you know that God loves everybody? Did you know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life? That's what God said. That's his mercy, you see. God is merciful way more than we will ever be. God's mercy is incredibly much more than ours, because you and me, got to admit it, you and me are kind of like Jonah. We want fire to come down and consume the wicked and evil people in our lives that come against us, don't we? Anybody against whom we have a grudge or a grievance, we want them to be destroyed. God said, no, I love that person. I love those people. I'm a merciful God. I'm a God who loves more than you can possibly comprehend. And my mercy is deeper than any mercy you could ever understand. That's the kind of God I am. God's desire is for everybody to come to him, no matter what part, place in their life they are. Even the evil ones, yes. Even the ones who have done you wrong. And so he comes to people individually, and he comes to groups of people. And he says, are things going kind of poorly in your life right now? God bless you. Are things going badly in your life right now? It's because you haven't been following me, and you've had evil in your eyes and your minds all the day long. Because you've been going after other gods and other things in your life. Repent. Turn to me. Turn to me, and I will forgive you. And all of us who sit in church all the time say, yeah, but, you know, we've been good, God. We've been good. You're going to forgive those people out there? Yes, he is. You're going to let them into your kingdom? Yes, he is. And you know what? That's our God. That's our God. That's the God of mercy that we serve. And that's the message that we take out from this church. And that's the message that we should take out from this church every Sunday. That message is the God of mercy, who says to the world, God loves you. God loves you, and he'll forgive you. Just turn to him. God loves you, and he'll have the most mercy on you that you could ever imagine. Just turn to him. Quit going after the other gods. Quit going after the other things. Turn your heart to him, and your life will change forever. We've got people sitting here today whose lives have completely changed because they quit following other gods and turned their lives over to him. Amen? Amen. That's right. We've got people whose testimonies are about a God who heals not just the body but the soul, the inner person, who have been set free and who are at peace today because they turned their lives over to the living God through Jesus Christ. That's the message to the world. It's a simple message. When you go out into the world and talk to friends and neighbors, some people say, I don't know what to say. Just think about Jonah. Just think, you know, I spent my time in the belly of a fish, so to speak. I've done my time. I know what it's like, and I prayed to God, and guess what? He saved me. He saved me from that destruction. Go out and tell people. God can save you. And if you're sitting here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, today's your opportunity. It's your opportunity to say, it's the day of salvation for me. I want to be like Jonah. I want to be set free of all those things that I've been following around all these years. I want to be one of these people who have that inner joy and peace that nobody can understand. I want to know this God who is way more merciful than I am. Today's the day. If that's your desire today to follow him, then come forward and do so. During our communion, during our Eucharist time, when we have prayers over here, come on up and make that known. Make your decision for him. Amen? Amen. Amen.